The 4th of December, the Lakers were very bad. 6 games to go through. Let's bang this one out quickly. This is the Wednesday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Adam King 91. Find us at FBI Basketball or on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Please go and find us. Please subscribe to us. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. 6 games. Let's get into it. I have managed to find a small window to squeeze this show into. So let's try and get through it in about 20 minutes if we can. All right, first game of the night. The Pistons travel to Boston. Look, they keep it close-ish, but never really a danger game for the Celtics. They end up winning 130-120. For the Pistons, Tobias Harris, very encouraging. That's 2 good games in a row. Maybe now this is a sell high. A week ago, we were talking about buy low. Maybe this is a sell high. If you think you can move him for a top 50 player, I would. If not, just enjoy. I don't know if enjoy is the right word. The roller coaster that is Tobias Harris. As we talked about, Tim Hardaway and Malik Beasley early in the season were alternating performances or strong performances. We had a Beasley drop-off in the last one with Tim Hardaway playing relatively well. In this one, quite the opposite. Tim Hardaway, 2 points on 1 of 2 shooting with 3 rebounds in 25 minutes. Absolutely nothing. Malik Beasley had 23 points, 6 threes, 2 steals in 33 minutes. So Beasley is pretty clearly still the preferred option of the two. Jalen Duren, 5 points. Not much else. 25 minutes. I mean, the minutes aren't too bad, but this is bad from him. Cade Cunningham was good. Jaden Ivey, not his best game. We hold him. It is a little bit up and down. Isaiah Stewart, very bad. Again, he has been terrible. Both he and Duren have been bad. We had a nice Marcus Sasser game out of nowhere. 12 points, 2 assists, 3 steals. If you streamed him in, well done. But we didn't see this coming at all, and I am not interested in him. As for Tobias Harris, I think, where are we? Yeah, Chad's got a question. How much of Tobias Harris's resurgence was a product of hot shooting and Duren Stewart, THJ, and Ivy being awful? Look, probably all factors. Harris just took more shots, which he hasn't been doing. The 2 steals and a block are nice. Look, outside of the points here, the defense isn't going to stick. We know that. He didn't do much else. 3 rebounds, 2 assists. So it was just a hot shooting night, but it's certainly better. The rest of the starting lineup outside of Cade were pretty awful here. I think I had someone on Twitter ask me, would I rather, I haven't answered it yet, Duren or a Kongwu? I think it's a Kongwu. We'll get to Atlanta in a minute. He wasn't spectacular, but Duren has just been so bad that I think I'm okay with moving off him, which is really hard to say because I did draft him in a couple of leagues. I will be stubborn and I will hold him, but I would certainly not be against moving on from him. For Boston, we had no Drew Holiday. We had no Jason Tatum. So Sam Hauser started, talked about him in the pregame show that Pritchard would probably continue to come off the bench. And Hauser had 5 threes, season high 20 points. So if you streamed him in, good job. Al Horford, nice strong game for him. Porzingis, likewise. Against the Celtics, against the Pistons, this really isn't surprising. All of their starters played well. Peyton Pritchard had a nice game off the bench. And even Luke Kornet had 9 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. So one of his better games. And again, against the Pistons, I'm not surprised. Lakers and Miami. This is in the title of the show. The Lakers do suck right now. Very, very bad. LeBron, at least he hit a 3. 1 of 4. So what does that make him? Like 1 of 28 or something. 29 points, 8 assists. But yeah, in terms of on-court impact, all that sort of stuff, he's just, I don't know. I mean, he's certainly not washed, but a time he's going to catch up with him at some point, and maybe it's starting to very slowly. Hachimura, only 14 points with nothing else. Connect, it's getting hard to make a case for Connect. 2 points in 23 minutes. In 30 minutes, probably he warrants holding, but and this was more to do with just the result. There was a blowout. It was like a 40-point loss. What was the score? I know it was a lot. 134-93, so there we go. If you want to give Connect another game or two, see if he can get back on track, go ahead. But yeah, I mean, his ceiling's probably not high enough, if we're being honest, to hold him through this. They just played their bench guys here. Max Christie had 26 minutes, Gabe Vincent 24 minutes. I'm not interested in any of these guys. And Anthony Davis continues to be pretty bad. It's a rough sort of 2-3 games. Could be a bit of a buy low for him. I think he's just worn down, to be honest. If you could acquire him for any first rounder, I still think he's a top 5 player this season. So if you could give up something like a Harden, maybe someone who's in the back end of that first round, I would consider that. D'Angelo Russell did start here with Austin Reeves out. He had 12 and 4, not his best game. We probably hold him for another game. And then vice versa for Miami, they didn't have to play their starters because they won by so much. Bam Adebayo, only 25 minutes. Look, honestly, I'm not even going to go through this box score. It was a blowout, and we don't really need to take too much away from these performances. Terry Rozier is still very borderline. He had 16 points, but 2 assists, 2 rebounds, a steal. He's fine to hold on to for now, but very back end, top 120, top 130, which makes him an expendable player. Pacers and Brooklyn, another win for Brooklyn. They keep surprising us, 99-90. Tyrese Halliburton coming off the, 30-something, night before, 17, 8, 2 steals, 2 blocks. It actually ended up being a pretty good line for him, but the early on didn't look great. But yeah, got some numbers up early. 5 of 13 from the field. Not his best night, but definitely not his worst. Much better than what he was putting up a week or two ago. Miles Turner had 11 and 7 with 4 assists and 4 blocks. Mathurin, yeah, I mean, when his shot's not falling, this tends to happen. 8 points on 3 of 12 shooting. He remains a must roster. And Pascal Siakam, maybe a bit of a buy low for him. He's been a little bit ordinary the last couple of games. He had 14 and 6 in his 37 minutes. Quentin Jackson started and unsurprisingly did nothing and then was benched for Johnny Furphy. So good to see Johnny Furphy rolling out there. He put up some career high numbers, which isn't saying much. He hasn't played a lot. He had 12 points, 7 rebounds, 4 threes. I don't think this is necessarily means they're going to start him. Nembhard will be back for the next game. But maybe Furphy does move up in the rotation ahead of Quentin Jackson. Let's see. And TJ McConnell, the minutes very encouraging here, 28 of them. But this was to do with the Quentin Jackson sort of sucking thing. He had 14 and 2 with a steal. Just enough there for TJ to be rostered, I think. And then moving down that box score. Jarris Walker, no thank you. Obi Toppin. If Obi Toppin was 28 minutes a night, I think we'd be rostering him. But the role is very inconsistent, so we're not prioritising him. For the Nets, We had Cam Johnson back. We had Ben Simmons in the lineup. Still weird starting lineup given all the injuries. Cam Johnson looked really good, 26 points, 7 rebounds, 2 steals. Sell high on him now. Cam Thomas will be back at some point in the next few weeks. So if you did want to try and move off Cam Johnson, now would be the time to do it. Jalen Wilson was a bit better in this one, 11 points, 3 assists, 2 steals. But I've talked about the Nets and the Wilson, Keon Johnson, Shake Milton, Trendon Watford, Tyrese Martin when he plays, Dariq Whitehead. There's so many guys there that could put up value on any given night that I'm just not bothering too much with it. Where was he? Ben Simmons, that's who I wanted to talk about. 21 minutes, which isn't, I don't know, it's fine. I'd rather him be close to 25. He did have 7, 7, and 9 with 2 steals and 3 blocks and looked pretty good. So there have been flashes this season. If you want to have him on your roster, by all means, I think I have him on 1 or maybe 2, at least 1. And I'm okay with rolling him out there. I think they're punt points teams. That's obviously, he's far better suited to a punt points build because he's getting those peripheral numbers, not really scoring a lot. And De'Ron Sharp, I said, just keep an eye on him. He had 7 and 6 with a steal in 17 minutes, but not enough there for standard leagues. That's why I can't see this because I haven't made it big yet. It's good work by me. Orlando and Philadelphia. Orlando get the win 106 to 102 over the Sixers. Goga Badadze returned but only played 21 minutes, 6 and 6 with a steal and a block. This was a matchup thing against the Sixers who don't really have a traditional center. They were able to play small here. We saw more minutes for Anthony Black as they just rolled with Wendell Carter at center lineup. Carter did nothing, 2 points, 6 rebounds. He should be rostered. So should Goga. Now, Franz Wagner, I put in the show heading, is he a buy low? Which obviously on the surface sounds like a very weird thing to say because he is playing so well and there's all this talk of him being a sell high, sell high, sell high. And I was driving around today, as I do for work, and having a think about it. And I do wonder if in situations like this, and Wagner's just a very good example, there are other players, and this happens other times, where a player is so hyped up as a sell high that the manager starts to panic a little bit and almost think that this player is playing so above their head that I just want to move off them now and get a good player back. But is there a chance that Wagner is just really good even when Banchero comes back? So maybe the Franz Wagner manager is of the opinion that, hey, when Paolo comes back, because of all this talk, Wagner will be a top 50 player. So, okay, I'm just going to move off him and get a nice, consistent top 50, top 40 player back. When in fact, maybe Wagner puts up second round value or third round value for the rest of the season. And so maybe he is a buy low in a weird roundabout kind of way. It was just something I was thinking of, just the concept when a player is hyped so much as a sell high, like we've been doing with Franz Wagner for the last 3 weeks, it almost begins to have that reverse effect. So anyway, just something on my mind. KCP didn't shoot the ball very well, had 5 steals. He's okay to have on your roster if you need steals. But, he's not going to get 5 every night, obviously. Anthony Black, he did play a lot more in this game, 10 points, 7 assists. Not really buying that. And Jonathan Isaac, a nice line, 14 and 4 with 2 steals and 2 blocks in 15 minutes. So, again, he's okay, but 15 minutes most nights is not going to be enough for him to have value. For the Sixers, no Embiid, no Paul George. They have said that Embiid could potentially return Friday. We will see. I have my doubts. So we had Yabusele starting. He was decent enough, 15 and 7 with a steal. So just plug him in your lineup and let him go. KJ Martin started again, 11 points, 2 steals. you'd need these guys to be out for him to be even considered. Kelly Oubre had 15 points with two steals. He is also a stream when George is out. Jared McCain started, so that was good. No Kyle Lowry in this one either. McCain had 24 points. We keep rolling him out. They seem to be a little bit unsure of where to play him exactly, but, I'd be rostering him. And Tyrese Maxey, not his best game. He struggles without Paul George there because the defense basically just locks him down, 7 of 19 from the field. Caleb Martin, fine if you need steals. Not really interested in anyone else. I am seeing these questions too. We will get to them. Atlanta and Milwaukee, a good win for the Hawks here as they continue their weird season of beating good teams and losing to bad teams. 119 to 104. We don't need to talk about Jalen Johnson. He's very good. We don't need to talk about Ricochet because he is who he is at this point. He is really, really back end. Deeper leagues, fine. Standard leagues, I don't think so. Trae Young didn't shoot the ball particularly well, but the fact he took 19 shots was encouraging. 17 points, 7 assists. So certainly not his best game, but maybe this is him sort of consciously making an effort to take a few more shots. Dyson Daniels, only 9 points, but he had 6 assists and 3 steals. DeAndre Hunter, 20 points. I think we're just rostering him at the moment. He's doing enough. And finally, we get a good Bogdan game, 15 and 5 with 5 steals. So hopefully you held on to him. Anakongwu, a lot we talked about him with Jalen Duren. Who would you rather? I think it's Okongwu. I just think there's more upside for him at this point. 13.6 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. Duren just isn't getting it done for me. So I think I would rather Okongwu there for the Bucks. Giannis, don't need to talk about him. Dame, don't need to talk about him. Andre Jackson continues to start very weirdly. Brook Lopez, this is exactly what he did last night, 5 points. Not much there. He doesn't get enough rebounds, 3 blocks and a steal. So he is really just playing as a defensive specialist at the moment. And Gary Trent and AJ Green, who are our 3-point streamers, neither of them were fantastic. Trent had 3 threes, which I guess maybe that's a pass mark at best. And the Timberwolves beat the Clippers 108-80. This one was not remotely close either. Rudy Gobert was, I guess, flirting with a triple-double or pushing for a 5-by-5. We had a comment here. Yeah, Chad, facing Gobert and losing a bunch of categories thanks to Gobert trying to pull off a 5-by-5. Yeah, we don't usually see Gobert leading the team in assists, but we did. He had 8 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 steals and a block. So nice night. Despite only 8 points, it was a good line for him. Jade McDaniels, no thank you. 11 points, nothing else. Conley, I still think is a must roster. They only needed him out there for 20 minutes, but this was not a close game. So we are still rostering him. And DiVincenzo, just move on. 3 points in 21 minutes. He had 2 steals, but no, I don't think neither of DiVincenzo or Alexander Walker need to be rostered. And we don't need to discuss this box score too much because it was a thumping. For the Clippers, no Norm Powell. He was out on the second night of a back-to-back. So they really just had no offense at all here. It was ugly. Chris Dunn, he got 1 steal, but God, 1 of 8. For some reason, he's just this inefficient shooter now. He's always been relatively efficient for a guard, and that's just not happening. Harden, 5 points, 3 assists. Honestly, I wouldn't even look at this box score if you have any Clippers guys. I'm not adding anyone. I'm just not going to talk about it because I don't think I need to. Let's look at a couple of questions, and then I can get out of here. What have we got? Brandon Ingram can't arrive soon enough for the Lakers. Yeah, well, they need something, don't they? Because we've seen when Anthony Davis is not playing well, LeBron is not that guy. Well, at the moment, he's not. So they certainly need someone. They need a third option. Franz, yeah, I don't. Yeah, MVP candidate. I don't know. Maybe I probably wouldn't have him in that discussion yet. But by all means, put him in there. And they would not want to upend the apple cart. Look, they have had a favorable schedule over the last couple of weeks, but a win's a win, and Franz has been fantastic. So they will want to, I think, try and get these two playing alongside each other. Should I activate Herb tomorrow if he plays? If you've got someone that you can just flip into the IR spot, then yes. But if activating Herb means dropping someone, I probably wouldn't. And I would assume there are a few games. Let me just have a look. How many tomorrow? Thursday. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, so 8 games. So your roster might be full tomorrow. Yeah, I probably wouldn't activate Herb if it means dropping someone. I would. But if you've got, as I said, someone that you can pop into that IR spot, then I would consider it. Any concern with Isaac missing essentially the first quarter with leg cramps? No, I mean, there's always concern when it comes to Jonathan Isaac and any leg injury. Cramps, I wouldn't worry too much. I mean, it is a little bit weird that he is cramping when he's only playing 15 minutes. So that is concerning. I mean, there's no indication of a cramp potentially leading to a muscular injury or anything like that. But they're going to monitor it. And if there's any pain, any symptoms, anything, they will be very, very cautious with him. So there's always a little bit of concern, but if they're just listing it as cramps, I wouldn't worry too much just yet. Yeah, nice line from Minot, but we know he's not playing minutes. Adding to the Herb question, I really need stocks. Yeah, look, if you do, and like I said, if you can, sure. Okay, 2 empty spots, streamed someone today so I could drop one. Yeah, if you've got spot to do it and you've got someone you can just get rid of because they were a stream, like a Sam Hauser or something, for example, I would certainly do that. Any update on the severity of Wemby's back issue? No, this one sort of came out of nowhere this morning. I went and picked up Zach Collins straight away in a couple of leagues, and I would also look at Bassey because both were good when Wemby was out with his ankle, I think it was. Yeah, look, this could just be a back-to-back. They're sort of overachieving this year. I think they're almost at 500 at the moment. So it could be a bit of, hey, we're just going to give you a little rest here because we don't want to be winning too many games. So no indication that this is going to hang around, but we do know that back issues with big men can linger if it is something. So it's certainly we want to monitor this and keep an eye on the injury report and any updates that we get. But, yeah, no indication of that. At this stage, would we rather Collins or Plumlee rest of week? Ooh. I mean, if we knew Wemby was going to be out, I would probably say Collins, only because Plumlee didn't even start yesterday. They went with Iguodaro. Plumlee, I think, is a little bit safer because Nurkic is going to miss this week. Wemby, you might get one game out of Collins. So, yeah. Probably for tomorrow, I'm assuming, hang on, do the Suns play tomorrow? Yeah, so Suns play the Pelicans tomorrow. Spurs play the Bulls tomorrow. So, yeah, Plumlee's actually, it could be interesting against the Pelicans tomorrow because they have Eve Missy, but beyond him, they might just run small ball, which means if Iguodaro starts, he matches up against Misi, and then Plumlee, maybe he only plays 15 minutes tomorrow. So I'd certainly prefer Collins tomorrow, but I'd need to get word on whether, Wemby is going to miss time to potentially see Collins as a more of a long-term thing. At the moment, it's a one-game thing. That's it. Okay, that will do for – well, let me take that comment off the screen. That will do for today's show. should be a pregame show tomorrow. Eight games, I'm sure we can squeeze that in. But yes, thank you everyone for listening. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep postgame show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website,